We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us at a midweek Bible study at Vine Grove Baptist Church. Hope and pray you join to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I want us to look at a statement that we will hear from God quite often. As a matter of fact, it's a word that as kids growing up, we didn't like to hear that word. When God says no, when God says no, and when we, we just don't understand, and we're telling God, Lord, I just don't understand. You know, everything that I'm praying, Father, I know is in your word, and I know that what I'm asking for, Lord, is not selfish, Lord, I don't understand why. So let's look at some. When God says no, Jeremiah 33:3. Again, Jeremiah, you hear me quoting him a lot, probably next year doing, as I will be into evangelistic style of preaching and mode, you'll hear me talking a lot about Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had nothing good happen during his whole 26 years of ministry. Not one salvation. People were not changing. God sets him out there, and they mocked Jeremiah. Even God, and I'm talking about God's people, mocked Jeremiah. Jeremiah was embarrassed. He was put down for every time he got ready to say something. And Jeremiah tried to pull away from what God had called him to do. Again, remember, if you've got something going on in your life, your story is in the Word of God. No matter what it is, there's a story about your situation is in the Holy Bible. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. That's what God was telling Jeremiah. The problem was Jeremiah didn't like what he heard when he called. Call to me and I will answer you. Three ways God answers prayer. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says not yet. Sometimes God says no. So tonight I want us to look at why does God sometimes say no. And we're going to look at it scripturally, and we're going to understand from God's own words, from his heart to ours, why no is said quite often by him. First reason is because he has a bigger perspective on life and all. God looks to us, folks, we're his family. We're his children. Well, you and I look at one another, and as we talk and as we study together, we understand that we're not there yet. We understand that every day we learn new. Every day, a little more and a little more. But God, when he looks at us, he says he looks at us like we're already there. He sees us finished. Because now, how could we be finished? How could we be that finished, that well, that good? Because he said, what I have started in you, I will finish. I did not begin my salvation process. We are saved because the Holy Spirit convicted us of sin, convicted us and said, let me introduce you to Jesus, the Messiah. So we are under conviction, and then meaning God always initiates first contact. Always initiates first contact. That keeps man from saying, okay, we're going to get you saved tonight. If we have to break all 10 commandments to do it. And it focuses on God says, when I speak to you, answer. Call to me and I will answer you. So because he has a bigger perspective, he sees our life completed. You and I see us still limping through life. Hebrews 4:13. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from Him. That's why we always shake our head, you know, with individuals that say, well, now, God didn't know about that one. And you'll be surprised how many people truly believe now, let's keep this quiet, and God, we won't bother Him with it. Proverbs 2, verse 8, God, in parentheses, have God guards, okay? Got it in parentheses because that's who he's referring to in Proverbs, God. God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. You'll see, you and I see the protection. But let's say we have our own securities team and all. We see protection as, okay, you're going to protect me from getting shot, getting killed, getting harmed, and all of this. God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful. When God tells us, here's the way, when he's talking about the way of his faithful, the way of his faithful are those who are faithful to go in his way, to go in the path that he set before us. That's who the faithful are. Here's your road. Here's the lane that I want you on. Therefore, get on it, because I promise you, you will be protected through it. He never tells us that we're not going to get shot at. He doesn't tell us that, okay, don't worry, everything is going, you're just going to feel good all the way through it. He tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will protect the way of his faithful ones. In the early Christian church, around the first century type of Christian churches, the Christians were called the way. They're of the way. Remember a few years back when the Bible came out, the Way Bible? And that's where that came from. That came out of the same Bible, you know, same scripture. But what it was, that's what the first or second generation of Christian believers were called. They're part of the way. Pretty cool name, but the reason they said use the way, they did not use Christian simply because they'd be slaughtered. Remember the fish? Remember the drawing of that to tell someone else that you're a Christian? Why? Because they're going to cut your head off if you go out there. And God allowed that to happen. He allowed them to meet in their homes to keep them protected. And as they met in their homes, God continued to build his church. And then you would find leaders, even evil leaders, that would come along and God would touch their heart and they would think more of the Christian faith than they did the Jewish faith. You know, they're going, no, give me those. We've been arguing with these religious leaders too long. Okay, number two, why does God sometimes say no? Because he has a better plan. God doesn't just say, okay, no, I don't want you doing that. He says, no, I don't want you doing it your way. I got a better plan. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Whether you all notice or watch that stuff or not like I do, but on the surgeons, when they're doing surgery and all of this trying to save a life, the doctor that is in charge, he backs up and says, unless someone objects, we're going to call it. Does someone have something new that we haven't tried? If not, we will call it. Then all the doctors around, all the nurses, and the doctor says, anybody. And if there is no objection, then they call that person died at a certain time. When I first saw that, I thought, gosh. But then I watched the whole thing, and I thought, yeah. When they've massaged that heart, when they've done CPR, one of them was a half hour, 45 minutes had been on it. Yet last night I watched one of them to where the ER doctor cut her open and had his hand inside of her massaging the heart, and it was one of the nurses. And he said, you know, ER doctors don't do this, but it's the only hope I saw. And they all said, well, she's going to die anyway. Going all the way into the OR, he still got his hand inside of her massaging the heart. And if he stopped, he said, for even a split second, she'd die. So he just kept going. And then at the end of them, they went back in the room. There she is thanking him because of he went to the extreme to save the life. Isaiah 55:8-9. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than yours. Too often, the prophets and Christians today, you know, would say, well, this is my plan, Lord. I got the plan. Remember, God is not dead, when the girlfriend was saying, look, I have planned our life out for the next 50 years, and you're changing it. I wanted the poor boy to dump her a lot sooner than he dumped her, and he dumped her for the Lord. This plan of mine, the Lord again, is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For my ways are higher than yours. So God said, what I'm getting ready to do, I have a better plan for you. So what does pride do in the heart of the human condition? Pride sets in and says, no, I like my idea better, Lord. I will do it my way, and I want you to bless my way. God's not going to do that because he loves us. That goes back to the parent. No, don't you ever, ever do that, son. I don't want you going out there. And if you do, I'll pull every hair in your head out. I didn't know that later in life every hair in my head would be. But why did they do it? Because you love your children. You don't want them going out there and getting hurt. Hebrews 11:39-40. These were commended. Oh, he's talking about, you remember in Hebrews where you see the list of the, it goes beyond a list of the faithful, the roll call of the saints. Remember where, telling, well, and Moses, and he keeps speaking. Okay. These were commended for their faith, talking about the prophets and all these great men of God. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Now, what they had received is the word you and I are getting today in what we call the New Testament. What they received was the vision of the Messiah one day would come, the Son of God himself, God incarnate, going to come, and at that time, all changes. It all changes. It's like Jesus said when he came. It all changes. Now I will speak to you in your heart. You will know that it's me. And no one can stand there without excuse because I will reveal myself to them. And that's what we have. Well, they heard the word. The prophets were prophesying. This is what's going to happen. And the day is coming when the Messiah, when he comes, there will be peace within you. He never, ever said there would be peace with the nations or with people. The peace comes in the heart of the believer, of the Christians. And he said, these were commended for their faith. God's talking about them. Yet none of them received what he had promised. They never saw the day of the coming of the Lord. They didn't see the day. They weren't there. We are in that generation. The most blessed of all generations is what the prophet said was coming. But none of those prophets got to see the day. But God says, here's why. God had a plan, had planned something better. So the prophets are telling where we're living today through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. The prophets are saying it, yet their generation never got to see it. But God says here that I've got a better plan for them for that. So we know that even though they didn't see what we see now, they have seen what we don't see yet. They got the best. They were with the Lord, and God said he blessed them for standing for what they had not seen and for proclaiming his truth. And God, you know, and as God is saying, I got something better for you, boys. So you and I, when we're looking at our situation, saved by grace, how great it is, we got something better waiting for us, boys and girls. Something better waiting that we cannot even imagine. So that which was last became first. Focus real hard on what the scriptures tell us. And he was first would be last. Think about, well, that as a Jewish nation. Anybody that's not, wasn't Jewish was too much today, this week. But no, the Jews saw Gentiles. Thank you. I knew I'd hit the Gentile. Gentile. Anybody that's not Jewish was a Gentile. And so anybody not being Jewish and wasn't Jewish, I'm a Gentile. Now, who is it that attempts to lead everyone to Christ? The Gentiles who were saved by grace. And the prophets here, the Jewish prophets, said, this day is coming. And the problem was, like we always, you hear me always say, none of the religious group of, and knowing of the prophets, of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all of them that knew the law, they didn't even show up for the birth of Christ. And the reason they showed up for the death, they wanted him dead. So, number three, why did God say no? Because he has a greater purpose. He has a better plan, and he has a better purpose. He had, of course, the bigger perspective. God can see everything even in the future. Okay, now, number three, because he has a greater purpose. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord has made everything for his own purpose. 1 Peter 1:7, the purpose of these troubles is to test your faith as fire tests how genuine gold is. Your faith is more precious than gold. There's about 10, 15 sermons I can think of there. 2 Corinthians 4:16, 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So when we pull that in and we get it in our heart and we're thinking about it, then we understand what we're seeing here isn't the real part of us. What is real for us in our life in the time to come is what we don't see. So therefore, by faith, the Lord says, let me show you a picture of what's coming. And it's in the Bible. And he speaks to each one of us, and he will lay it out because he says, I love you. And you, he didn't say it this way, but you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't think he said it that way. But we haven't. See, we haven't even yet seen what the prophets got to see that was something better than what we're even seeing now. And folks, we got it good. We got it good in Christ. Because those of us who are truly in Christ, we know that our salvation is secure. And it doesn't matter. We walk out the door and we're hit by a flying bumblebee or whatever, then and it kills us. God had a better plan. I may not have a plan going home. God had a better plan going to home. There's two fundamental truths we need to look at on this. Some things I'm never going to understand. See, I'm not dealing with this whole focus with the kids, the deaths this week. There's some things, folks, you don't try to explain that away, because there are some things we're never going to understand. Deuteronomy 29:29. There are some things God has kept secret. And I'm not going to question God as to why did he keep that secret. Because I realize something. Through Christ, we are a part of that secret. We have it better. To leave, as Paul said, oh, what a joy that would be for my sake. But for your sake, he said, I must stay longer. Number two, some things are never going to change, no matter how much I pray about them. Some people are never going to change. Will they ever change? And if they don't ever change, so often the person wanting to help them change takes it to heart. I failed. Listen. There are some things that are never going to change no matter how much I pray about them. Well, does not God answer all the prayers of Christians? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But some things you're never going to change. Situation won't change because God has a better plan that we don't know about. But, you know, when we look at it, well, for the life of me, I cannot understand what God's doing. Well, it's for the life of you that he said no. And for your life that he says, no, that's not going to change. Paul wanted to change. Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing what you call me to do. I'm preaching. I'm doing all of this stuff. And Lord, I have this thorn in my flesh. And what did his answer? Going to keep it there, Paul. Keep you humble. Man, from reading Paul's writings, I'm glad he had the thorn, because there's no telling what he said if God hadn't kept him humble with the thorn. And despite what everybody says, no, we don't know what it was. One of my professors said he thought it was his eyesight. But I never could catch on to that one either, because do you remember? Because then in the script where he said, see how bold I make my letters, how large I make my letters, meaning he continued to write even after his eyesight was failing. So what would the question be? This man of God that the Lord himself, Jesus, touched on the road to Damascus, he is losing his eyesight. Gosh, he'd been stoned and shipwrecked and going through all of this type of beatings and everything else. And yet, what was he reading? Well, he would have been reading about Moses. And Moses was 120 years old and his eyes had not dimmed. And there was nothing to listen to God about Moses. He was in perfect physical condition at 120 years old. So from the human side, you could see a person like Paul saying, well, aren't I doing what Moses did? But the thing is, God says, you're never going to understand so much that I do. But one of these days, we get to see it. What to do when God says no? Number one, trust that everything God does is motivated by love. Everything God does is motivated by love. And I know we don't understand it. Why would five babies die? I don't know. But everything God does is motivated by love. Psalm 25:10. All the ways of the Lord are loving. You know, we always want people to like us and love us. But folks, when we know that God loves us, even if we don't, we have everybody that's in our past says, I don't even like you, much less love you. That's okay. God loves me. Romans 8:28, you see that ICB, that's the International Christian Bible. Listen to this one on it. Romans 8:28, in everything God works for the good of those who love him. So notice where love always falls in. God loves me. So therefore, everything that works, that God works, is always for the good of those who love him back. Number two, expect God to give us the grace to handle the no. Lord, I'd appreciate if you said yes, but if you say no, give me grace to handle it. My mom, when she'd said no, there wasn't any grace part there. How many times did you get your hair pulled, Randy? Never. God, he's rolling his eyes. Really that bad, Marion? 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. This is Paul right here. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. That was a thorn in the flesh. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And old Paul just went off once he got that one. So therefore, I'm thankful for my weakness, that the grace of God shall superabound. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Every one of us, anything that is going on, even though we don't understand it, we need to know that God is doing it because he loves us, and the purpose is through him. He knows it. You know, a lot of things that we're going to look at, we will never know the purpose of it till we leave this body and are in heaven. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.